Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Well, hello there. Drop the Subject is back. We've got a whole new set of live shows to bring to you. We hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving holiday. Allie and Jarrett are here with you, and we certainly hope that over the Thanksgiving holiday, you played our Thanksgiving Music Matters 2 playlist.
I did see some tweets that said, you know, yes, that is, I think it was Chris Contreras that was tweeting, like, yes, that is a Drop the Subject Presents Thanksgiving Music Matters 2 playing in the background.
He had a little video of his table set up.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it all looked very professional.
Shout out to Chris.
It didn't sound, the playlist.
It was a very nice setup, yes.
Oh, yeah, it was. It looked really nice. And having that music on in the background, it warmed my heart. It was not played at my family's Thanksgiving at all. We never play Thanksgiving music. We never play music in at all, which kind of...
You don't play music?
No.
What kind of family are you?
We don't play music for Thanksgiving. We don't play music for Christmas. There's no music.
You guys are weird.
I kind of think so, too.
We play all kinds of music. Yeah.
I don't know. We were just all talking. Yeah. And I guess the football game was on.
Yeah.
So that's something that
happens.
There's
got to be some kind of media playing.
Yeah. It's just Thanksgiving. It's just, you know, football all day. And then at like 6 o'clock, all of the women start going, why is football still on?
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a lot to look forward to. I know it's a distracting day for everybody. You know, it's Cyber Monday, so it's really a day where everyone kind of pretends to be at work.
Productivity is pretty low.
Yeah. I mean, let's be real. You're not really going to do much today at work besides look at an Amazon tablet.
I saw someone tweet, like, can we all stop pretending like we have to respond to emails today? People will get back to you by Thursday. You know what it is?
It's
like,
yeah. True. Because half the people are returning today. Because some people, they said that today is just as bad as yesterday when it comes to holiday travel, people coming back from the Thanksgiving holidays.
Totally.
And, you know, it was hard enough getting out. Everybody was stuck on freeways. Everybody was stuck in a storm. Everybody was stuck at the airport. So, you know, people are delayed getting there. They're going to be delayed getting back. And then the other half are just trying to get some Christmas shopping done. So, you know, thank you for even listening to the words that are coming out of our mouths right now. But we do have a wonderful show planned for you. We have a Hallmarker Humbug. It's a game that I played a year ago, and I'm very thrilled to play it with you, Jarrett, for the first time.
I'm excited. The idea of it just alone is really funny to me, especially like considering we had the guy call in. Was it Ken that called in? I think it was Ken who called in and said like one of his favorite things was all the Christmas movies. And he was like, they're all basically the same movie. You know, rich woman comes from New York, back to small town, falls in love with guy who just comes his hair and he's a hunk all of a sudden.
So there's usually a really sweet old man.
Right.
With like a blanket over him in a wheelchair, just talking about the spirit of Christmas.
There's always like a town store or restaurant or both.
Yeah, exactly.
With really endearing people that warm your heart and save the day in the end.
It usually is some kind of a female lead going from the big city to a small town
where her family's from, but she hasn't been there in years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like Sweet Home Alabama Christmas edition every single movie.
Yeah.
So it will be hard to tell the difference, but and if Ken, if you're listening and you want to play along, please do. 833-77-CALL-Q. We're going to be
Ken
playing it
be
later
the
in the show.
Perfect person to play.
I would love to try and stump you, Ken. So you can feel free to give us a call.
I'd love for him to call and be like, my name is Greg, but it's like, I'm pretty sure it was Ken.
No one called me Ken.
Exactly.
I am not a Ken. But we also have, you know, it's the Monday Munch Report, and we have Cyber Monday Munch Report. We'll be sharing all of the things that are Cyber Monday food themed. So anytime you're trying to upgrade your kitchen, if there's some appliances that you're thinking about and you're like, I don't know, maybe I should buy that air fryer, but I have no idea what to do with it. We're going to help you get through it.
Plus, we've got two presidential candidates that have fallen out of the race in what we're calling... They've fallen out of the race in what we're calling Drop the Subject Presents, Drop the President Presents, Drop the Candidate. And so we've lost two of them. We'll tell you who they are. Spoiler alert, you're not going to be hurt.
Marianne
Williamson is still in the
race. Still getting the emails.
Also, the Trump administration has given feedback to Congress about whether or not they're going to participate in the impeachment hearings. Spoiler alert, you can guess where that's going.
Yep.
And then there was this crazy incident that happened on a bridge in London, and the person who saved everyone was the least likely person you would expect or that people would put into that position. So
I mean, maybe it's a holiday movie.
It probably will be a movie sometime.
You know, like, I mean, if it's, I don't want to give too much away, so we'll wait till we get to that later in the show. But it is quite a story with many twists and turns. And then we also might be, if we have time in the show a little later, we're going to talk about the most annoying retail shoppers, because I did some Black Friday shopping this weekend and there was a whole lot of annoying people.
Yeah.
You know, just people that have tendencies to cut you off when you're in the middle of scrolling through Tops.
Yeah.
You know, people that have those big carts and then they're trying on clothes in the aisles and not going to the fitting room.
She said scrolling through Tops on a gay radio station. It's fine.
Is that bad?
Yeah. Just want to.
Scrolling through Tops? Oh!
Welcome to the conversation.
Channel Q. Yeah,
exactly. Yes, we've got a whole lot going on. What the heck is a Grinch bot?
Like, yeah.
Something that you need to be looking out for today.
How the bots stole Christmas.
Yeah,
happening.
We probably need to talk about that a little earlier, since it's Cyber Monday and it's something that's going to impact your shopping.
I'm sure we can move things around.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on today. So you're going to want to make sure to stay tuned. We're coming back in just about 4 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right. Drop the subject. Allie and Jarrett hanging out with you this lovely post-Thanksgiving Monday, Cyber Monday. And I know you're going to be half listening to this while you add things to your cart, and then, you know, week from now you're going to be like, what the hell just happened? I feel like I'm getting all these things delivered that I didn't really need. That's okay. Yay. We're all a part of it. And you know what we're all a part of also? Eating a bunch of leftovers that we're not quite sure are good or not.
Yes, and if you're listening right now, you're shopping, you can put the mouse down for just a moment, take your finger off the trackpad.
<I'm> like,
exactly. You can take a quick pause in shopping. Yeah. Give us a call at 833-77-CALL-Q. We want to know, how long are you eating Thanksgiving leftovers? Again, the phone number is 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-77-CALL-Q. And tell us, how long are you eating Thanksgiving leftovers? Because I'll eat them all week long.
Well, let's get into it. This is the Monday Munch Report.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Yes, 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 yes.
What are you doing? I'm blotting the grease.
It's the best part.
So, there are some rules here, according to the CDC, of how long you can let leftovers sit in the fridge versus the freezer. And the key here, and we're going to talk about where we're at, where you're at with your leftovers and where I'm at with mine, but just as a precursor, they say the key to not getting food poisoning around the Thanksgiving holidays is to put all of the leftovers in the fridge within a couple of hours of serving your Thanksgiving dinner. So the problem that a lot of people run into is that you serve the turkey, you got everything out, and then you eat, and then you talk, and you talk, and you kind of leave it out. Then you're like, hey, let's move on to pie, or hey, let's watch a movie, or whatever. And then the food's sitting out, and then at the end of the night, you put it in the fridge. Too late. You're already much more likely to get food poisoning or to get indigestion or whatever if you wait too long to put your Thanksgiving leftovers in the fridge.
My stuff definitely didn't go into the fridge until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
So completely failed on that one.
Oh, for one so far.
Absolutely.
All right.
I had people that got there at 3. I told people 3:30 because I knew they'd get there by 5, which is exactly what happened.
Uh-huh.
And then we started eating at 5:30. Food went into the fridge at 1.
Including the turkey?
Well, I didn't have turkey.
I'm not
a turkey fan. I did ham and chicken because it was Friday, so it was Friendsgiving the day after Thanksgiving. I did
That's
ham
right.
and chicken.
Okay, so the ham and the chicken went into the fridge probably 6 or 7 hours after eating.
Something like that.
And
yeah.
You've been eating it since.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, they say that you are supposed to eat these leftovers once you've put them in the fridge. All leftovers should be, when they're reheated, well, first of all, when you store them, you need to refrigerate them at 40 degrees or colder as soon as possible. They say within 2 hours of preparation.
I keep my refrigerator at Emmy's home level at 61 degrees.
Which is 20 degrees? North Pole.
Emmy keeps her house at 61 degrees.
I'm about to put gloves on. I am seriously freezing.
I don't understand how you live like that.
They say if you're cutting up big meats, like ham, turkey, chicken, cut it up in big portions so that it will cool more quickly. They said all leftovers, when they get reheated, should be reheated to at least 165 degrees mm-hmm. before you serve. Then it says you should basically try to polish off the leftovers within a couple of days. A couple of days, according to the CDC. If you can't polish them off in that time, you should freeze them. says leftovers can stay good for 3 to 4 days max, but in a freezer, 3 to 4 months.
So I think this is a total crock, because every week on Sunday, when I say every week, I mean most weeks.
Uh-huh.
And by most weeks, I mean some weeks. And by some weeks, I mean, damn it, I try.
It's a few days a month.
Exactly.
But you know what? You're good at them overnight oats.
Right, exactly. So like most weeks on Sunday, I will cook my meals for the week. I will do meal prep, and I will have like 5 days worth of food in the fridge, and it'll be breakfasts and lunch and sometimes a dinner. Like I'll make like a big thing for dinner, and that sits in the fridge all week.
Okay, but because I kind of do the same thing, doesn't the meat on Thursday and Friday taste a little wonky?
It depends on what it is. Like if I, like last time I did chicken thighs are fine in the fridge. If I had done fish
or like shredded chicken though.
Yeah, I don't do shredded chicken.
See,
I'm not
if
a
I
big
do
fan.
A shredded chicken over a salad or something by Friday, it's a little questionable.
Sometimes in those instances, if it's something that I know won't really last, I will cook some of it on Sunday, and then like on Wednesday, I'll do like a new batch of something to add to it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe I'm saying this, but over Thanksgiving.
Uh-oh.
No, nothing crazy.
Yeah, well, I'll be the judge of that. Go on.
We made a big turkey. I mean, when I say we, I mean my mom and my stepdad. They made this big
turkey.
Yeah, they barbecued it. They had the ham. They had, you know, all of the fixins, the stuffing and everything. And then, you know, we had probably 12 to 15 people over for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
We all got, and it wasn't served. It was like buffet style. We got up and got what we wanted, and then we sat down.
Right.
By the end of the first round of eating, there was basically no turkey left.
Oh, you guys killed it.
Yeah.
Well,
and my stepdad was a little bit bummed.
He was a little miffed.
Because he's, you know, I think just as good as the Thanksgiving dinner is the leftovers that you look forward to throughout the week, right?
Yeah.
So he was so excited about having a turkey sandwich the next day.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, man, there's basically nothing. There's like
how many
one
people
thigh
did you guys have?
Hanging out. I think we had around 12 to 15 people. It might have been more than that.
So last year I called my Friday party a Thanksgiving leftovers party, and it became a joke. Like, these are your leftovers, because I had basically cooked everything.
Yeah.
It wasn't leftovers at all. It was like I cooked everything for this party. And so this year I did the same thing. I didn't call it a leftovers party, but I called it, you know, Friendsgiving hangover. And so I cooked up all this food, and I was excited about leftovers, but then by the end of the night, there was like one serving of every little thing, and I was like, oh my God, you guys murdered all of
yeah.
this food. And so I kind of get the feeling of like...
of being bummed that people actually ate what they were supposed to eat.
This year, I was grateful that I had made like an extra side, like small one for myself that I have tucked in the fridge, because otherwise I wouldn't have had any leftovers.
See, I feel like there have been years past where people are always like, no, I'll just have a little this. No, mm-hmm. no pie for me, bum. I think people went balls to the
Everyone
wall
was like,
this year.
Whoa.
Yeah,
exactly.
People had like four pieces of pie. People got second full plates.
Oh my God, this reminds me. I brought you guys cake from my party.
You did?
Yes, I totally forgot.
All right, I'm still off the wagon, so serve up the pie.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Supreme Court when we get back, because they are hearing a Second Amendment case
yes.
that, you know, has some gun owners worried.
Yes. They're going to be talking about guns, and this is kind of worrying for some people that are advocates for gun control. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right, drop the subject, Ali and Jared. Thanks for hanging with us. If you want to call us anytime, please do 833-77-CALL-Q. Let us know how long you plan to eat your Thanksgiving leftovers. And also, let us know what your resting temperature is in your home. This is a complete side conversation that's going on between me yes. and you, Jared, and producer Emmy. We were having arguments about what temperature to keep this studio at. And it's freezing in here.
Emmy says her house... is 61 degrees.
Who keeps their damn house at 61 degrees?
I keep mine at 72. You keep yours at 75, like normal human beings.
Right.
And she's hanging meat in her apartment, apparently, because 61 degrees is crazy.
Just a giant ham hock.
Exactly. So give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q. That's 833-77-CALL-Q. And tell us how long you're eating your Thanksgiving leftovers or what temperature you keep your house at.
Yeah, because if you would be... basically if everyone was going to eat you, they'd be able to for months if
oh
you were
God.
That cold.
Absolutely. I mean, mind you, the cat will start to eat you in 24 hours, so it doesn't really
yeah,
matter.
Yeah, she doesn't care.
So, okay. We've got the story coming out of the Supreme Court. It's all year long, the Supreme Court takes on all these different cases. And then earlier this year, I was calling it Supreme Court season, June, when all of their decisions are coming out of their session. So the story coming from Pete Williams at NBC News says the Supreme Court on Monday is set to wade into the highly charged gun control debate for the first time in nearly a decade, hearing oral arguments in this dispute over a New York City gun restriction that would seemingly have some major implications for nationwide gun rights. They say the court has basically declined to take up any gun rights cases since 2008's ruling in Washington, D.C. versus Heller, that the Second Amendment provides a right to keep a handgun at home for self-defense, and later clarifying that those rights apply nationwide. The court's willingness to take on the New York case, even though the law at issue is recently repealed, which even makes it more interesting, has gun rights supporters basically feeling optimistic that it could lead to a ruling about the right to bear arms outside the home. This has been a major debate for people because it's like the Second Amendment says we have the right to bear arms, but like some people feel like we've taken that to an enormous extreme. Also, that was about wartime, right? It wasn't about just like, you know, walking around with a gun all the time.
No, and that so was like back the in the debate. Day where you had to pull out a gun in order to settle a dispute, a random dispute with somebody in a street. It was just
Yeah. Back then, like if you're shooting a musket, you're not shooting off a whole bunch of rounds in no time, right?
Right.
This the founding fathers could not have foreseen like automatic weapons and things like that, and semi-automatic weapons and bump stocks and all those kinds of things. And so there are a lot of people who feel like the Second Amendment has really been used in extreme ways to kind of justify all kinds of things that were not intended for that. And there are, you know, a lot of people who believe that the Second Amendment should be questioned and maybe, you know, revisited. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess it'll be really interesting to see what comes out of this because, I mean, just this past weekend, there was another shooting. You know, there's 10 people that were injured in New Orleans, and this continues to happen. And then everyone, you know, every time a new shooting happens, which is often, everyone goes, why don't we have more restrictions on this stuff? So the fact that this now is coming in front of the Supreme Court to potentially allow people to have guns on them outside of their homes and just bear arms whenever, wherever, that seems like a big giant step backward, in my opinion, if we were to allow that.
Yeah, I think we've got to have some kind of conversation about like what is reasonable between like stand your ground laws in different states.
Right.
We've got open carry in different states. Like there's a lot of different states that have, you know, varying rules. And when you cross state lines, what you did, you know, on this side of the road might have been okay. And on that side of the road, it's not. And I think we have to have some more clarity on you know, what the Second Amendment means to people. They say gun control advocates, in contrast, fear that the court's new conservative majority may produce a decision that the National Rifle Association could use to fight against many of the 300 local gun restrictions enacted since the Sandy Hook school shooting in 2012. And I remember there are plenty of people who were saying, like, if Sandy Hook could happen when these were rich, young, white children being massacred in their school, if that could happen and nothing moved in Congress, nothing's ever going to happen.
No.
And it's also important to remember that there's overwhelming public majority support for gun restrictions.
But then there's also, yes, there is, but then there are also so many people who want to buy guns after these shootings happen. Like background checks for guns skyrocket every time there's a shooting. So it's weird that so many people want gun reform, but then they also are so afraid that they won't be able to defend themselves in a shooting, that they're wanting to buy more guns.
But it's also always important to remember the NRA is always this organization that we talk about that, you know, has a very strong hold on Congress and the politicians within it. The NRA is approximately 5 million members. There are 350 million people in this country.
Yeah.
Think about the disparity between that.
Right.
5 million people are basically holding hostage, if you will, for the lack of better terminology, the entire 350 million people in this country, 330 million, depending on where you look, on this issue. And it's you know, it's something that I don't know that that's right. They're a very loud minority.
And a very rich minority.
Well, seemingly. Well, sometimes. I mean, the NRA is very well funded. But I mean, you know, this happens in like low income rural areas. It's more than anything, I think.
Right.
So we'll take a quick break, though.
Yes, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, a little bit of feedback. Some people who've been using the Thanksgiving playlist over the holiday. And Trump Dave chiming in. 69 degrees is our home temperature and window is open at night to make it colder. What is your resting temp at your house? This is an in-studio dispute happening between me, Jarrett, and producer Emmy. So chime in. You can always DM us at DTS Show on Instagram or you can give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q. We'll be right back.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right. Hope you had a pleasant Thanksgiving. If you didn't, please call us. We'd love to hear from you. 833-77-CALL-Q. Some feedback on social media at DTS Show on Twitter and Instagram. You can always interact with us here on Drop the Subject. We love interacting with you. And, you know, we already mentioned Chris Contreras posting a lovely video of him using our Now That's What I Call Thanksgiving playlist. And it went over gangbusters in his house. But you also had some positive news on social media this weekend, Jarrett. You were featured in Tweets of the Decade.
Yeah, Twitter Moments of the Decade is a thing that's been, like, trending over the last few days. And I didn't even know this was a thing until I started, like, getting people, like, mentioning me and like me seeing alerts from it, and I was like, what is this? And then I saw that the Melania Trump plagiarism scandal was, mind you, it's a very lengthy list of things,
yeah,
but it was like one of the Twitter moments of the decade. So that was kind of cool. It's been very nice, and like I've been getting a lot of tweets. So this morning I tweeted about it as well, and it's been interesting watching all of the people that have been tweeting us tweeting about it, I guess. I tweeted earlier saying my mentions and DMs are lit up with this video coming back as a Twitter moment of the decade. It's a story I'll never forget breaking, but it was also an omen of things to come. Things can be plain, clear, perfect, even, yet we argue about what they are, which, I mean, really, in this impeachment inquiry that we're in right now, looking at the President of the United States, it's like you saw this very plain, simple, easy thing right in front of you, and you want to argue with us about what it is. And I remember when the day after breaking that, the morning after breaking that story, seeing Paul Manafort on television talking about me, and it made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It like sent a chill down my back because I always say that he looks like the incarnation of evil. And it was very weird. It was an odd thing. But then to hear them saying like, oh, you know, it's like My Little Pony, and like comparing it to like all these other things where people have, you know, compared the speech and said like, oh, she didn't really steal it. It's just like very similar thoughts. And it's like, it's 50 some odd words that are exactly the same in the same order.
My Little Pony is an original work of genius.
Well,
why are we comparing?
They were saying that My Little Pony has some quote in it about, you know, doing something good for yourself, and other presidents have said that. Was that plagiarism? And it was just like,
what?
Are you serious? Like, the arguments that they were making were just ridiculous.
Well, if Melania Trump plagiarized My Little Pony, that would make me very happy. Get on it, Jarrett.
Well, obviously I broke this story, but like when she announced her Be Best campaign, like all of the content in the documentation was from something Michelle Obama had done 2 years before. And you know what I mean? So like I say that it was an omen of things to come, because we've even had Donald Trump say like, don't believe what you hear, don't believe what you see. And it's like, what do you mean? Like, are you serious?
Don't believe facts. Exactly. Right?
I mean,
that's for losers.
That is literally the trope of what they've been doing. So
interesting. Well, also, just to round out this feedback section of Drop the Subject, somebody has commented on the Now That's What I Call Thanksgiving album, which we released. It's actually not something you can purchase, but hey, you know what? It's Cyber Monday. Why don't we give people a deal? And say, yeah.
A freebie that's
exactly.
Not really available.
So now that Thanksgiving's passed, things always go on sale after they've passed, right? You always think about it.
We have a really deep discount here.
Halloween candy and Halloween decorations after Halloween, they get basically to a quarter of the price. So this is a deep, deep Cyber Monday post-Thanksgiving deal on the Now That's What I Call Thanksgiving album. We have created it. We're going to play our commercial for it. So this day only, today only, people.
It's absolutely free.
It's absolutely free. Now That's What I Call Thanksgiving. We'll be back.
Have you been wanting to get all your favorite Thanksgiving music in one place? Well then, say hello to Now That's What I Call Thanksgiving, with hits like Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving around the corner, need banana pudding.
The Thanksgiving song.
Sweet turkey, cause it's good.
And It's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. We're gonna have a good time.
Christmas. Christmas music gets all the credit. It's time for Thanksgiving music to join in on the fun. Rock out to Apple Peaches Pumpkin Pie.
Apple Peaches Pumpkin Pie.
Who not or tear your ears off with Thanksgiving Baby Shark.
Baby Pilgrim Shark. Baby Pilgrim Shark.
Pick up your copy of Now That's What I Call Thanksgiving Today, and you'll receive a free 6-month supply of canned ham. We don't know why either. From the people that brought you Now That's What I Call Arbor Day and Now That's What I Call Wednesday, it's Now That's What I Call Thanksgiving. Because nothing says Thanksgiving like music no one's heard of. Pick up your copy of Now That's What I Call Thanksgiving and show your family that Thanksgiving music matters too.
The turkey, eggs, potatoes, eggs.
As long as it's not that.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. We've got some interesting developments coming out of Washington, D.C. I'm Jared. That's Allie. And we're getting into what we're going to have to start calling. We're going to have to rename this now. We have a segment on our show that we do called Drop the President, where we're talking about the 2020 election and all of the different candidates. But now Drop the President has to move into Drop the Candidate as we start to lose some of the 24, I believe, people that were running for president. So we're calling this Drop the Subject presents Drop the President presents Drop the Candidate.
Yeah.
So we're going to...
And then if the candidate drops something, I don't know what the hell we're going to
do. I don't know what we do.
Even if they drop a pen, I just don't know what's going to happen.
Way too many presentations in that way.
So meta.
It is very meta. Over the course of the weekend, we lost two presidential candidates from the Democratic primaries. And what's interesting to me is there are various different times when you start to see people starting to fall out. I feel like we've lost these two candidates because we're getting into the holidays and people are like, look, what am I doing here? You know what I mean? I want to be with my family.
Right.
I don't want to be out here running for no reason.
I see. So around the holidays, you're going to see more people dropping out because they just don't want to put in the extra hours.
Well, I think that might be part of it. But also at the end of this month, people are going to have to turn in their financials again. And they're going to have to show like you've raised X amount of money. We have another debate coming up. Like if you're not going to be able to get on that stage, what is the point? Why am I doing this? Why am I going to be away from my family all this time? Why am I going to continue to be in this race? Why am I going to continue to do this if there's no reasonable path forward for me?
And what happens to...
Let me say before you do that, Steve Bullock has dropped out of the race, and then also Joe Sestak. Two names you probably don't know very well, Steve Bullock is the two-term governor of Montana, and he has dropped out of the race, and then also Joe Sestak, which is a former Pennsylvania representative.
We were going to do our big... reveal.
Well, I thought we're figuring out how we're going to do this, but I thought we were doing. So, okay, we'll do this this way.
We're like had all the. We're like, all right. Who's it going
to
be?
So, to our boys, Steve Bullock and Joe Sestak, your time is up.
Sashay away.
There we go.
We're going to build that out. We're going to make it bigger and bigger every time because we've got a lot of different candidates.
So yeah, this is a Drop the President Presents Drop the Candidate or Drop the President Presents.
Nope.
Damn it. Drop the Subject Presents Drop the President Presents Drop the Candidate.
Yes.
And then when we announce who has been dropped, we present them with a sachet away a la Channel Q.
Sachet away.
So we're going to make this a thing.
Yes,
what we're saying.
We're talking about it today and we're like, oh, we've got a lot of candidates left to go. We're going to have to give a whole lot of them a good sachet.
Sachet away.
And so I feel like there's something in America's Next Top Model that might work from Tyra Banks. The 17 girls stand before me, but only 16 photos are in my hands.
17 pantsuits stand before me.
Exactly. So
but only 16 will be standing. Or I have 16 podiums, and then instead of handing roses, you have to hand podiums to people, which
exactly.
would be just really heavy and not working at all.
But both of these candidates have dropped out over the course of the weekend, and I think we're going to probably see... I would not be surprised if we saw three more before the next debate.
What's nice is that when they announced they're dropping out, you remember that they were even running in the first place. Because when Justin Bullock got announced that he was leaving,
yes.
I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, forgot he was running.
I'll also remind you that we had two people get into the race in the last 2 weeks. So it's a really interesting time to be in candidacy for this primary. But like I said, I would expect we will have probably three more before the next debate. The next debate will be on December 19th.
Oh, right before Christmas. You think we're going to have three more drop out before then?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I think Marianne Williamson will probably be one of them.
You never know. Hey.
Mind you, I would expect her to fall out of the race and then to come back into it.
All right. She probably set, here's the timeline here. A few days ago was the new moon. Marianne Williamson probably set some new intentions for that. She was probably like, right now she's manifesting that she's going to have like a 20% surge. Okay. So give her 2 weeks to allow that manifestation to happen. Mm-hmm. By the full moon, I think if she does not have a considerable, you're laughing at me with your face. I'm just laughing. Giving you the facts according to her.
I mean, hey, new intentions.
This is her. She's setting her into, the intentions have been set. She's probably got a doll under her pillow or something.
I'm actually seeing a push alert right now. Marianne Williamson has dropped.
No, she's not.
No, she's not.
Because she's going to wait until the next full moon.
When is the next full moon?
Okay, let's
see. I'm looking it up. When is the next full moon?
Because the first one was, or the new moon was like last week at some point.
Okay.
It was like on Wednesday or something like that.
The next full moon, according to Farmer's Almanac.
What?
Farmer's Almanac is actually a really good way to be able to find that. The next one is going to be December 12th. So it's in 10 days.
Okay. So that's what I think. I think if by the next full moon, she does not have what she needs, she'll drop out.
So we would expect a dropout probably 2 days thereafter.
Yes.
Like the 14th.
Yes. I think by the 13th or 14th, she'll drop out.
Okay. Well, so that's five days before the next debate.
But I'll ask my pendulum at home just to make sure.
Wow. Are you going to drink the Kool-Aid too?
It's already in my blood.
Yikes.
All right. I've already drank the Kool-Aid. It's already ready to go.
Well, we'll see you behind a comet. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more Drop the Subject right after this.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
I will say, Jarrett brought in some of his cake from Thanksgiving, and it is delicious.
Thank you.
A lemon buttercream cake.
No. It is a lemon cake with white chocolate lemon cream cheese buttercream frosting.
Okay.
Do not downplay.
I forgot like 17 words.
It was way too long. It's ridiculous.
But if I had known you when I got married, I would have hired you to do my wedding cake.
Well, that's a great compliment. Thank you.
Because this is very moist. I know that's many people's favorite word. And it is very lemony.
It's also 4 days old.
Hey, you could have fooled me. I'll tell you,
I'm not cheap. So,
yeah, I'm sure I can taste the good ingredients.
No, yeah, it was really good.
This isn't dollar store icing. I know it.
It is not.
I know that taste well.
Yeah. Yes, the KitchenAid mixer was a going on Wednesday night. So yeah.
Well, a lot of people now are not being productive at work because they're trying to swoop up Cyber Monday deals.
But apparently, someone's out to get them.
And it's robots, which we kind of knew that robots were out to get us, right?
I think they've been out to get us since they were created.
Yeah, I mean, ever since the Roomba. The Roomba really started it all.
I would go back further to Rosie from the Jetsons. I think she's probably was one of the first ones I was like out to actually get the family.
Okay, so not as far as R2-D2, but in the Rosie, because like R2-D2 was like helping everybody out. He was on a mission to kind of help out everybody.
Yeah, but R2-D2 was also a spy. Are you being
watched
for the future?
By your bedside?
Are you being watched
a robot?
By your bedside at a robot?
First of all, I hate both of you people. But
anytime we talk about robots, we have to play.
That's fair. I'll give you that. Okay. But I think that like the idea that robots have been after us for a long time, it goes way back, but go on.
Because we're putting them to work, we're not giving them any kind of pay for the things that they're doing, right? So they're hard at work. They're working overtime. And then we're mad at them. We take everything out on them when things don't work out. When it's usually our fault. So of course they're going to revolt.
I say really ugly things to Siri.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I mean, just think about how we treat them.
Yeah, fair enough.
We treat them terribly. So it turns out that around the holiday season, of course, you're going to be shopping online. And if you were not able to get that desktop computer that was like 70% off, it may not be because a person bought it. It may be because a robot bought it.
That's crazy. And then where does it go from there?
That's what I can't really figure out, because it says up to 97% of all online traffic to retailer login pages this holiday shopping week comes from bots.
How much?
97% of all online traffic to retail login pages come from
that
bots.
That is ridiculous.
Then it says on a normal shopping day, humans will outnumber bots on login pages 2-1. On the days leading up to Black Friday and Cyber Monday, bots outnumber humans 20-1. So you are one person that's trying to get, you know, a deal on a Roku. I mean, it's a shocker that there's a deal on a Roku. But there are, for every one person, there are 19 other robots that are also adding that to their cart.
They say the bots fill out online forms and navigate retail sites faster than a real person can and try to swiftly purchase limited supply gifts before you've even filled up your cart. The items are then sold for a higher price on third-party sites. The cyber thieves also crack inside the accounts, drain accounts of rewards and other digital currency, conduct credit card fraud, and more. My God.
Yeah, so these are some badass robots. These are like Robin Hood robots.
What it makes me think about is every year Cyber Monday, the conversation is about like how much department stores aren't making this year, and like to online retailing, and it makes me wonder like how much of that is genuine consumer purchasing, I should say, and how
robots.
Much of it is being bought for resale, which is not really consumer buying.
Well,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, even people will buy things to resell them.
Yeah,
but it seems like robots are doing that even more. And it says that these newest shopping bots, they're really good at appearing human. They can use artificial intelligence to defeat that motion CAPTCHA thing, which I can't defeat sometimes.
CAPTCHA is so awful. It is literally
All I have to do is check that I'm not a robot, and I'm like, ugh!
Yeah, like, we were talking
I don't know which ones have stop signs, okay?
This is one of those things we're talking about, a new segment we're developing called There's Nothing Worse. And it's like, there's literally nothing worse in the world than CAPTCHA. And it's like, there's a few things worse than CAPTCHA in the world.
A few. It says that they have human-like browsing behaviors, so they will even have random mouse movements that would indicate that they are human. They also spread out their activity to a variety of devices and IP addresses to make them harder to detect.
It's just like, who has the time to come up with this?
I mean, but then once you come up with it, you're saving time.
Yeah, I mean,
You're using a bot or whether it's just a hacking bot or whatever it is, these robots are getting they're getting the scoop. They're getting all these deals way before you are. So, you know, if a deal goes live at 10 o'clock and by 10:03, it's completely gone. Yeah. It's probably because of robots, not because of actual humans.
That's really, really crazy. They say that it's important to protect yourself. Installing a password manager software tool can make this easier. Implementing two-factor authentication can also make your accounts harder to break into. It's crazy to me to think about all of the different ways that people are always trying to scam online. It's really frustrating.
Yeah, I will say that some robots do need a break. You know, if they're just putting spa equipment in their cart, then like more power to them. You need a little robot massage.
They?
Yeah, they
do
probably
they?
Have a lot of family to shop for.
Do they?
No.
The Russians,
no,
it's just like a bunch of Russian bots who are all like shopping for each other.
They're just buying all those little scarf
they
things.
Know they've got a lot of work to do for this next election. And so they're like, listen, we better rest up.
We need to load up.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's now time for News It or Lose It. Want to let you know the new story we were just talking about the Grinch bots. We just tweeted out the link to the NBC News article with like more ways that you should be thinking about protecting yourself going forward on Cyber Monday. So just wanted to let you know that. Allie's got three headlines. I've got three votes. We'll see how many stories you get.
All right. Headline number one. Everything you need to know about the puppy who was encased in ice for 18,000 years.
What? Me and Emmy both looked at each other with our mouths agape.
18,000-year-old puppy.
How do you say no to that? News
I
it.
I don't know, but adoption day, anyone? I'm game. Headline number two. American Airlines grounds flight only to discover it was all an elaborate scheme for someone to get a better seat.
I would be murderous. News it.
And then finally, headline number three, Toys R Us is back.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Ooh, three for three. I know we don't have a song
Five.
Yet, but play it, Emmy.
Five.
Yeah.
F-I-V-E.
We'll take a quick break when we come back. Allie's three for three and News It or Lose It.
F-I-V-E.
Don't go anywhere.
F-I-V-E.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject presents. News it or lose it.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. News it or lose it. Allie with
really an extraordinary feat today. 3 for 3. I mean, how do you feel?
I feel great. I'd like to get into the stories because we are already running out of time.
I just really want to talk about how fantastic. No, go ahead.
I need to tell you about this frozen puppy. All right. So there is a puppy that has been frozen. It's a Siberian puppy. They just discovered it. These researchers have made this big, big discovery of a Siberian puppy dog that has been remarkably intact after 18,000 years. They are now studying it. They're still trying to figure out if the tiny animal is a dog or a little baby wolf. They wonder whether it could be part of the evolutionary bridge that turned from wolf to dog, which would be pretty cool. And they've already named the dog Dogol, which means
what?
Which means friend in the Siberian area, in the language of the Siberian area where the creature has spent the last 18,000 years. Dogol.
Spell that?
D-O-G-O-R.
Dogor.
Yeah, Dogor.
Oh,
the puppy was discovered, last year, actually, by locals in Yakutia. And, they led up this big expedition, and this is all part of the Mammoth Museum of Russia's Northeastern Federal University. And they said it's an amazing feeling to see, touch, and feel the history of Earth, a.k.a. a frozen puppy. I'm in a movie pitching mood today after having prepped this game that we're going to be playing later in the show. You know, they have that movie Encino Man, Encino Dog. Easy.
Because
get Pauly Shore attached.
There are definitely not enough dog movies.
No, there aren't.
Oh, I'm being fully sarcastic.
I am not being sarcastic. I think that we've gone away from dog movies, and I think we need to come back.
Are you high?
No, now they're all sad dog movies. Can we go back to Homeward Bound where there's happiness at the end?
There are more movies about dogs than anything else.
No, that's not true.
Oh my gosh.
All right, we have to move on, unfortunately. Right. But I think that Encino Dog would be great.
The idea of Pauly Shore in an Encino Dog movie,
yeah,
it is funny.
Yeah, and the dog doesn't know about crosswalks or automatic treat dispensers, and it's like,
he's completely freaked out by Roomba.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, an American Airlines flight has been grounded after somebody faked an illness to get a better seat. That is something that happened. Of course, a lot of people had flight delays over the holiday weekend. It was very, very rough for a lot of people, but a woman in Florida put her own monkey wrench into the system. The flight took off. It was totally fine. But now she's in custody for faking medical problems aboard an American Airlines flight that was headed to Miami early Friday morning. After becoming airborne at 5:43 a.m., the captain flew the aircraft back to Pensacola around 6:26 a.m. So it was 45 minutes into the flight. The captain notified the flight tower about an unruly passenger, and the department, which also patrols the airport, was waiting on the ground for the commercial flight. Then once they landed, the woman refused to get off the plane, although other passengers were removed. Then when they got on the ground, they figured out that she was faking a medical condition in order to get a better seat. The plane took off again nearly 2 hours after its first travel attempt.
Without her.
She was eventually admitted in a conversation with, she got admitted to into custody after because they discovered this and they were like, you're not flying anywhere and you're spending the night in jail.
All right. You got 1 minute for the last one.
All right. Toys R Us is back.
Yes.
If you want to be a Toys R Us kid, which we've kind of figured out no one really wanted anymore. That's why they closed all the stores.
Yikes.
They're kind of hoping to bring back, they're kind of betting on nostalgia at this point. They're like, hey, holiday season, remember us? So there are two Toys R Us stores. They're smaller formats and they're going to be opening very soon. The first debuts this Saturday, and that is in Paramus, New Jersey.
It was this past Saturday.
Oh, it was this past Saturday. Oh, okay.
They're like completely revamped stores. They've got like a whole new look, and they've got like experiences for you to be able to play games inside of the stores, and it's very cool. They're trying to make it so that you coming into the store matters more than buying online.
Yeah, and so the second one is going to be opening a little bit later. It says early December, and that is the Galleria in Houston. So we do have some listeners in Houston. If you want to stop by the Galleria, there's going to be a new Toys R Us experience there where you're going to do more than just pick up an old toy that some kids already played with and slobbered on.
If you go
go, call us and tell us what it's like. 833-77-CALL-Q. 833-77-CALL-Q. We'll take a quick break and talk to you about this crazy thing that happened on the London Bridge and who was the hero that was completely unexpected.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
So, Allie, this next story, you brought up something about it that has bringing me a lot of joy. This next story is something that's not very joyous, but it has reminded us of something that put smiles on our faces. There's a was a London Bridge knife attack where two victims and the suspect were dead in what they're calling an incident of terror. And you just kind of latched on to hearing London Bridge, which was a Fergie reference for you. And I love that song. I loved Fergie's album. But that's not really what we're talking about here.
No, it's not. But I think anytime we talk about the...
All right, I mean, so
this is a very happy song for a very not happy story.
A really wild story. So this story coming from Huffington Post, a bit of a hard left turn. Yes, a terrorist wielding a knife killed two people near London Bridge on Friday afternoon before he was shot dead by British police.
This lyric was not in the song.
This was not in the song at all. They say Metropolitan Police said that the man injured multiple people before he died in an attack that Scotland Yard is calling a terror incident. A man and a woman are dead and three more remain in the hospital. What became even more interesting about this story was that there was a man that was a part of like trying to apprehend the terrorist who was creating all this havoc. And the other story that also comes from HuffPost says a bystander billed as a hero for rushing to stop a terror attack on London Bridge has been identified as a convicted murderer on day release from prison. They say this gentleman, his name is James Ford, was jailed for life and recommended by a judge to serve 15 years behind bars for a grisly 2003 slaying of Amanda Champion.
Wait, that sounds familiar.
They say Champion was 21 years old. She had a learning disability that kept her mental state locked at the age of a teenager. She vanished for 3 weeks in July of that year. Her body was found badly decomposed after her Kent and near her Kent, England home.
Yeah, I think I read about this.
After Ford had strangled and slit her throat.
Okay. Well, you know, people change.
Yeah, they say authorities caught Ford after he called the UK charity Samaritans 45 times and confessed to the murder. Why he did this is unknown. But then in this instance, he was out on day release and actually stopped this terrorist.
So was he just out for the day?
I'm trying to...
Because I know day release is a program that sometimes... There was a listener up in San Francisco who had the same thing where he was in prison, but during the day he could leave and he could go to work, and then he had to report back to prison each night.
Well, the story here is Ford was serving the final days of his sentence as a prisoner rehabilitation conference organized by the University of Cambridge. They say that he's towards the end of his sentence here, so he was out on day release.
Okay. This guy's still a douchebag.
But
you killed somebody who had a disability. That's pretty
strangling
messed up.
And then slitting their throat.
Yes, which is awful. And then you get sentenced to life in prison. And why their sentence got reduced is beyond me, because that person should probably spend the rest of their life in jail for doing something like that. The only silver lining here is that he happened to do a good thing while he was out on day release. But still, I'm not going to be rooting for this guy.
Well, oddly enough, the man who committed this whole crime, his name is Usman Khan. He's 28 years old. He was released from prison a year ago, having served time for his involvement in a 9-person plot to blow up the London Stock Exchange and create terrorist training camps.
Oh, awesome. Okay, well, we've learned something here, haven't we, about early release?
I don't know about that, but not going to agree with you on that. But this has definitely been an interesting turn of events for two ex-cons.
Yes. Well, you know, hey, I guess a good deed is a good deed, but... I guess you can try to make up for it. Maybe as you get older, you're like, oh, crap, I'm a piece of crap. Maybe I should try and do something good for the humanity.
Well, this is part of the whole conversation about justice reform is like if we were spending more time trying to rehabilitate people, they could come out and be better citizens as opposed to just trying to punish people all the time. So if like we spend more time with people in jail and trying to bring them and like trying to fix the problems that they are facing and the reasons that they probably did the things that got them into trouble, when they come back into society, they can be more useful.
peaceful citizens.
I think I agree with you on that, but I think when it comes to like murder, I just don't know how I feel if some guy kill. I mean, I know we can't get into this conversation now because we have to take a break, but I think it's worth talking about. All right, we will come back with a game. We're changing things up. Hallmark or humbug, I'm going to give you a log line and a short synopsis of a Christmas movie. Jarrett's going to have to guess whether it's a Hallmark movie or it's something I made up. You can also play along. 833-77-CALL-Q.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right, drop the subject. Allie and Jarrett getting in that holiday spirit with a little holiday game. This is Hallmark Christmas movie season.
Yes, it is.
It actually, I think it has been since November 1st.
The last week of October is when Lifetime movies start.
Oh, great.
October 25th, I think it is.
So maybe you've already binged all the Hallmark Christmas classics, and you're going to be really good at this game, but
I can tell you that's not true.
That's not true for you.
No.
Yeah, well, I have a list of movies here along with a little plot synopsis. And it'll be interesting to see if you can tell the difference between something that I wrote and something that the team over at Hallmark wrote.
Okay.
I took about 6 minutes to write these.
Okay.
I don't know how long it takes the team to write their movie synopses. Okay. I would guess probably about the same amount of time.
All right.
So, here we go. Here is movie number one. This is Hallmark or humbug, everyone. A gingerbread romance. When career-driven architect Taylor Scott tries to make life-size gingerbread houses in order to get a promotion, her partner drops out and she enlists the services of Adam, a baker and a single father.
Mm.
Will they win the contest or make a real Christmas home with each other?
Yes.
not the official question, but yes, that's probably the answer.
Hallmark
or humbug, Jarrett?
I think that's Hallmark. That feels like that has all the makings because Adam's a hottie.
Adam's a hottie. Baker, single father. I bet he's got a scruffy beard.
Of course
beard.
He is. His wife died in some tragic situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the bakery's probably like on the verge of going under.
He hasn't had love in years. I just watched this movie on Netflix. Not that movie, but I'm saying another version of that.
Another one exactly like it.
Like, my wife died and, you know, the whole thing. So I think this is real.
All right. You are correct.
Oh, nice.
Yep. 2018, that one debuted with Tia Mowry.
Oh, nice. Shout out to Tia.
Shout out to Tia Mowry.
Always working, girl.
Always working. All right. The Christmas Carpool.
Uh-oh.
After their train gets trapped in a blizzard 2 days before Christmas, Sheila realizes the only way they're getting home is by driving cross-country with Chris, a stranger whom she despises. But in the carpool lane, their true colors begin to shine. When the snow starts falling, so does Sheila. And H-O-V spells L-O-V-E.
Oh, God. This is something you definitely wrote.
Yeah, all right, yeah. It had me written all over it. I think when the name Sheila came around,
first of all, the name Sheila, I was like, oh, so it's a black woman. And then when you started talking about the carpool lane, I was like, oh, Allie wrote this in traffic. Got it.
I did not. All right, here's your next one.
Okay.
North Pole, open for Christmas. A successful businesswoman named Mackenzie inherits her beloved aunt's inn and chooses to restore the hotel to its original grandeur, only to sell it right before Christmas. Unbeknownst to Mackenzie, she receives some unexpected help from a team of elves, headed by the cheerful Clementine, who helps Mackenzie rediscover the true meaning of Christmas.
Okay, so I literally just watched a version of this movie called Falling in Love, in with I-N-N on Netflix. Starring Christina Milian, and she wins an inn in New Zealand and has to go there, and she finds out it's dilapidated, has to build it up, finds a hot guy.
Why is it always an inn?
It is. Okay, so because I know that Christina Milian movie exists, I feel like this one, Mackenzie's probably does too.
Oh, you're right.
Is it? Oh my God.
Lori Loughlin.
No way.
Yep, 2015 she was in this, and I believe there was even a North Pole 2.
I will tell you, Falling in Love, it was not bad. I mean, it was bad, but it was good bad.
But that's the thing about these Christmas movies is everyone will love it no matter what.
That's really cute.
People feel about Christmas movies the way I feel about horror movies. Even if it's not that great, I'll watch it.
Yeah, same.
And enjoy it. All right, A Man Named Christmas. Christmas McCormick is a jovial mail carrier with only one problem. His name is Christmas, which has led him to despise the holiday. When he meets the hapless 9-year-old Mitzi, who stows away in his mail truck, she leads him on a journey through Chris's family history, allowing him to find the true meaning of his own namesake.
This feels like a twist on, like, a Christmas story with, I think this, I mean, a Christmas Carol. I think that could be real.
Okay. It's not real.
Oh!
That being said, it's probably real.
I was going to say, I feel like someone's like, I'm on it.
I wrote it, but, you know, hey, that means...
You might have a Hallmark Christmas movie.
If you're listening, Hallmark, I'm ready.
Dropping gems.
All right.
We got one more.
The Four-Legged Santa.
Uh-oh. Another dog movie.
Harvey may be a golden retriever, but his life is anything but boring. From bringing in the newspaper to picking up the kids from school, Harvey is the staple of his small town.
You wrote this.
When Sarah, a 12-year-old with spina bifida, reports...
Come on!
...to missing, Harvey takes it upon himself to don the Santa hat and make sure everyone has a Christmas to remember.
Allie, you wrote this awful movie. I know you did.
I did. I wrote it.
I was also thinking, please don't let this be real.
Okay, one more. Switched at Christmas. When identical twin sisters are stuck planning their prospective Christmas parties, they're convinced the grass is greener on the other side. Deciding to swap lives for the holiday, the lessons they learn along the way may turn out to make this the best Christmas ever.
Sure. Hallmark.
That's real. 2017 with Candace Cameron Bure and Mark Declan, and Happy the Dog. See, now you're in the spirit.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, more Drop the Subject. Don't go anywhere.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
All right, Drop the Subject, Allie and Jarrett. And you know what was nice about the Thanksgiving holiday is that I kind of unplugged and did not follow what was going on with Donald Trump. But I read that he made unexpected visits and things like that. And then we were sending stories around about what to talk about on the show today. And you had mentioned that he is now trying to get a one-on-one with somebody in the UK who a lot of people think is also nuts. So why don't we get into it? This is Trump Around. Oh, well, thank you very much, producer Emmy.
It's a heartwarming Trump story. Hallmark or humbug.
All right, well, someone tweeted this misogynist. No, okay.
True. Yeah, exactly.
A real estate mogul visits a small town and gets eaten by a dog.
So this headline comes from CNN.com, and it says, Boris Johnson is trying to avoid a one-on-one meeting with Trump. Here's why. So Boris Johnson, if you don't know, is the prime minister over in England, and he's... We don't do a whole lot of like world news reporting on the show, and so we don't talk about it a whole lot, but they've been in this Brexit situation that has really, really been difficult. I don't even like fully understand all the ins and outs of Brexit, but it's been an S show over there for them. So President Trump is leaving later on this week, heading to London to celebrate the 70th anniversary
of
the NATO.
He's heading to London?
He's going to... we need the London cue back. Yeah, he's scheduled to meet with the leaders of Germany and France, but the White House says he doesn't have a one-on-one visit with his host, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, on the schedule. They say Johnson is one of the president's best friends in the foreign leader category, but Johnson sent a very clear stay away instruction, and that's because in about 10 days, there are really important elections that are going to be happening in Britain. Obviously, we talked about this before. I believe Britain has like a 6-week turnaround time on their elections. They're like, we're having an election, it's in 6 weeks, as opposed to us. We're like, we're having an election in 3 years. Everybody start jumping in now.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They have a really short turnaround system that Americans, I would love it if our election system got a lot shorter. Mind you, it drives a lot of the news for a long time, so yeah. It's fun and exciting to follow the candidates, but it's also really draining on the voter. They say Johnson's premiership is at stake, as is the fate of Brexit, and President Trump is unpopular in Britain. But of course, the surest way to make President Trump do something is to tell him he should stay away. So,
but I also think that Boris Johnson is unpopular, isn't he?
Well,
he's a very unconventional prime minister. I know that it was like
newly elected. I mean, mind you, Trump was unpopular the day he was installed into office. But I mean, yeah, he's controversial in the way that Donald Trump is as well.
Right, but I think he's not traditional in the sense that I think he has a girlfriend that doesn't live with him, or he's not married. He's one of the first prime ministers that's not married. He kind of just speaks before. He speaks unlike any other prime minister, which is kind of like, here's the thoughts that are going on in my head. And everyone's like, what?
I'm sorry, wait, what did he say?
And then the Brexit. And he kind of looks like a British Gary Busey, where he's just kind of always a mess.
The most disrespectful thing you can say about a person is that they look like Gary Busey. Like, that is never
like that
a compliment.
Would even insult Gary Busey.
Literally never been a compliment. I always think about the mugshot of Gary Busey.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But he looks like that.
You're not wrong. I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
I think his teeth are just a little more crooked.
I'm not touching that. I'm not touching that.
Not touching it,
but not disagreeing, to be clear. But yeah, Boris Johnson, the whole Brexit thing has just been, like I said, quite a situation for them to figure out how they're going to navigate. So it'll be interesting to see what Donald Trump does when he's over in Britain. Every time he's gone over there, they've had like the big baby balloon that kind of goes up over the float kind of thing.
It's
that
good
goes
to know
up
they
over
still sell. They sell those there, too.
Yes, and they go all over the world. So
It is uncomfortable. You know, when I just know from my own personal experience, when someone's trying to make plans with you that you don't want to make plans with, and they're just like, hey, what's going on? And
I'm in town.
Right. You're like, I'm in town for a few days. You want to hang out? And you're like, I feel the pressure because you're only going to be here for 3 days, but you're really not worth my time.
Yeah. The other thing that I think will be interesting is, I mean, there are a lot of people who discuss Donald Trump's relationships with Russia and Putin and how Putin does not like NATO and those kinds of alliances. So I would not be surprised if there was some kind of major stunt that gets pulled by the President of the United States while he's overseas during this NATO event. I would not be surprised if he made some kind of bad headlines while he's over there.
You mean worse than Michelle Obama touching the Queen's shoulder?
Maybe a little worse.
Oh,
maybe.
Wow.
I'm not
he's
saying I have any...
over into the mid-back area?
I'm not saying I have any
Lord
information.
Lord in heaven. Get him out of here!
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right, the Monday Munch Report continues here on Drop the Subject. Every Monday, of course, we give you all food-related news and food-related personal experiences. Of course, it's the Monday Munch Report. I was getting to it. Let me have my journey.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Yes, 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 yes.
What are you doing? I'm blotting the grease. It's the best part. Let me see that.
This is a very special edition of the Monday Munch Report because while we talked food leftovers earlier in the show, we are now talking about Cyber Monday Munch Report because there are all kinds of food-related things that you can save a lot of money on. I'm not just talking about, you know, you can get a bunch of canned ham or anything like that. It's actually kitchen appliances that we're going to be talking about because there are a lot of things that can make your kitchen experience and your cooking experience in your home much better if you take advantage of some of these sales. So we're going to kind of go around and see and say what our pick is of the day.
I will tell you, mine is something that you never could have told me I would have been excited about, but I'm a big fan of the Instant Pot. If you're not familiar with the Instant Pot, it's this like, basically, I think it's like 8-in-1 kind of cooker that you have like on your countertop. My friend actually got an Instant Pot because his building was out. They had like a gas line issue for a year and he didn't have access to his stove.
Oh,
he bought this
Lord.
Instant Pot. The Instant Pot, it sautés, it bakes, it slow cooks, it pressure cooks, it does yogurt, it does all this kind of crazy stuff. And so he got one and that was how he was able to cook for a long time. And then he was raving about how great it was. So then I got an Instant Pot and I love it a lot too.
I never had even known about these. And then last Christmas, my dad got me one. I had never asked for one.
Yeah.
I didn't even really know what they did. And they got me an Instant Pot and I was like, oh, this is cool. This is like a slow cooker. And then I realized it's nothing like a slow cooker because you can really do a lot of stuff. My wife makes eggs. She hard boils eggs. You can cook a chicken in like 20 minutes. You can, you know, make a nice stew. You can do a lot of stuff. I didn't know you could make yogurt, though. Who the hell is making yogurt in an
Instant
Pot?
I haven't done it, but I feel like I might try it one day.
Going to
do that.
Yeah. How do you even make yogurt?
I think you have to have like pasteurized milk and the different ingredients for flavoring that you want or something
Why?
Like that.
It's also a sterilizer.
It is?
Did you know that? Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was comparing.
Well, what's really cool is on Cyber Monday over at Williams-Sonoma, which basically, like, if ever you're going to Williams-Sonoma, I hope you're prepared to spend all the money that you have. Mm-hmm. They have a new Star Wars collection of Instant Pots, which I've never seen a Star Wars movie in my life. They don't mean anything to me, but these are so cute.
There's a little R2-D2 Instant Pot. And a little Chewy Instant Pot.
The Chewbacca
one? A Darth Instant Pot.
No connection to Chewbacca at all, but the colors are so cute. I'm like, I low-key want this.
Right.
There's one that has Wi-Fi, so you can control it from your phone and all that. Like, so Williams-Sonoma has them for $99. And they're the 6-quart and the 8-quart is $119. I'm like, I kind of want to get this, and I already have one.
You want to get the Star Wars one?
I want to get the Chewbacca one because it matches my house. It's like it's brown and gold and all this, and I'm like, oh, this is so cute.
I didn't really realize that you can Wi-Fi anything.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, I guess I did know that, but I was like, why would my Instant Pot need Wi-Fi? And then you were explaining you could control it from your phone, and I was like, I need the Wi-Fi Instant Pot.
Wi-Fi or Bluetooth?
I think it's Wi-Fi.
It said Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I think you can control it through an app. And I have so much stuff on my Wi-Fi now, but yeah, Emmy. In our meeting this morning, you had something that I was so excited about. I was like, send it to me right now.
I did. My mom was going to get me the Instant Pot. She asked me about it because I don't care for surprises for Christmas. Like, let me know.
She said, let me know what this is.
Yeah. And so I was looking around and they have an Insta-Fryer, which is made by the same company. But instead of Instant Pot, it's called Instant Vortex.
Oh.
It's on
Instant
sale.
Instant Vortex.
Yes. Yes. And it's an air fryer. So it basically like makes things.
It's
you can
10
make
quarts.
Yeah, it's on sale at Walmart right now for what, like
$69.99,
and normally it's like $120, and you can make like roasted cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and french fries and hot wings and stuff like that, and so that's something that could...
Emmy, let me tell you, it is going to be on its way to my house before the show's over today.
Well,
like, I'm so excited about that.
I have used one of these, and I used it, but it was really tiny, and because my friend had it, and it was over 4th of July, and she was like, I have the air fryer, and I was like, oh, I've always wanted to try using this thing. I want to make some wings. What I did not realize is that you can only put like 4 wings in there at a time.
Depending on how big it is, yeah.
Yes.
That's why I'm surprised that this one is 10 quarts. That's pretty big.
It took me just as long to make them because I had to, it was like 4 minutes and then I had to wait and then I took it out and then I had to turn them over and then another 4 minutes and then I take it out and then I'm in.
How big would you estimate it was? Like 4 quarts? Like what is that? Like what
would
you think?
Yeah, that seems like a small one. Like it had to have been a small one.
I don't know quarts.
This one being 10 quarts set means it's pretty big to me. And it's also like it's a lot cheaper on Walmart than it is anywhere else. So I'm definitely buying this.
Well, the only thing I can recommend, and I don't have anything specific, but go on Amazon and do food storage because that is something that when we invested in, it was something that I was like, I don't need to buy plastic containers for every food and my pasta and my rice. But then we did it. And you open up that cabinet and it all looks perfectly in line and everything's organized and labeled.
Now you're speaking Jarrett Neese.
That is good stuff right there.
Baby,
so
all my Pyrex dishes are like stacked in order with the lids next to them. It's just, it makes
talk organized to me, baby. All right, we'll be back.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Well, you know it's our job here on Channel Q and on Drop the Subject to keep you abreast of all things coming out. If anyone is coming out as anything, whether it's sexuality, gender fluid, all that stuff, we will make sure you are in the know. And this weekend, we're welcoming another into the community. This is Closet Watch!
Closet Watch. Yeah,
really hyped there.
I think it's important.
Clearly.
This week, here's who we have in the closet coming right out of there. It's, Billy Dee Williams of Star Wars. Welcome, Billy Dee Williams, the actor. Of course, he's best known for he's done a lot of stuff, but really well known for his role as Lando Calrissian in the, he was in The Empire Strikes Back, but he's also reprised his role in the new Mandalorian show, which has been on Disney Plus.
So white people know him from Star Wars. Most older black people know him from Mahogany with Diana Ross. Uh-huh. He was like this sex symbol to people back in the day. Billy Dee Williams, like, you know, people in the 90s and early 2000s were like, Denzel Washington is just the hottest, blah, blah, blah. Billy Dee Williams was that before any of, like, he was a sex symbol. People were just fawning over Billy Dee Williams, and he was like the standard of what was like handsome and sexy and attractive. And so for him, knowing that and having that background, for him to be coming out as gender fluid, it's extraordinary.
I mean, I think it's extraordinary for what you're saying with him being this sex symbol, but I also think just someone of his age.
Yeah.
Someone who's 82 years old to say, hey, you know what? And here's what he said specifically. He said, I never tried to be anything except myself. And this is something that he told Esquire in a recent interview. And you see, I say himself and herself because I also see myself as feminine as well as masculine. I'm a very soft person. I'm not afraid to show that side of myself. So I just think it's really cool when you think of gender fluidity, you think of, you know, more like in the millennial and younger generations that are living the life in the gray, a little bit, you know, gender nonconforming, that kind of culture. So it's really cool to see that in an older person.
Yeah.
And to be so outspoken about it too. That's awesome.
I'm so moved by this. I feel like there's a lot of discussion around how gender fluidity is such a new thing and how it's, you know, the millennials are just, are, you know, mixing things up and taking away labels, which, you know, millennials definitely are, and finding less value in those kinds of labels. But I think there's something really extraordinary about someone who is so well known and has had this sex symbol status and is 82 years old and coming out and saying like, no, I can identify with that. Because I think, I say this all the time, like, I don't think there are more instances of gay people than there were 100 years ago.
I don't think
there are more instances of gender fluidity so much as I think people, A, now have the language for it, and B, are more and more comfortable with admitting it. Kind of similarly to the way that we have this conversation about mental health. Like, I don't think there are more depressed people than there were before, or more people with, you know, autism even. Or
because,
like,
a lot of people didn't know what that was before.
And now that we have language for it, and like we have an open society for people to be able to embrace those things about themselves. I think that is why we're seeing so much more of it. And I think Billy Dee Williams, you know, saying this in this interview, obviously it made some ripples in the water. But I think it also shows that, like, this is not a new thing. This is something that people have identified with for a long time.
Yeah. And you know what? His character, too. They've, because Donald Glover played this character as well in Solo, which was, I heard, a terrible movie, but regardless, Donald Glover, he said in an interview when he was playing that character that he described the character as pansexual.
Yeah.
So it's even cool to have a pansexual character in the Star Wars franchise in general.
Yeah, I just think it's really, really dope. And I hope that Billy Dee Williams being able to say something like this will kind of open up the doors for other people of his generation and those younger to be able to feel comfortable and saying, like, this is who I am. This is how I feel. This is what I've always felt. Because I think that everyone kind of exists on a spectrum, and not everyone is on the extremes, whether it's with gender, whether it's with sexuality, whether it's with how you identify, your orientation, all those different things. I think all that stuff is on a spectrum when we try to look at it as being very black and white or as being, you know, very left or right. I think it's definitely much more in the gray area.
Totally agree. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a moment. When we get back, we're going to talk about what are the most annoying shoppers out there. Okay, there. I was in a lot of stores this weekend. It was Black Friday shopping.
What you told me that your mom does, I think it's hilarious, but I know it drives you insane.
It does, but I also can appreciate it. And I'm sure there are other things. If you know that the tics that people have, habits, or just annoying people at stores this weekend, I'm sure you had firsthand knowledge if you were Black Friday shopping. So we'll get to that when we get back. This is Drop the Subject.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
So we've been talking throughout the day about the crazy holidays that we have that follow Thanksgiving, Black Friday. We've got Small Business Saturday. Today is Cyber Monday. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, that'll help my campaign.
Hopefully, huh? Right?
Hopefully.
And there's a conversation that had started in our pre-show meeting about the types of shoppers that you just cannot stand. And you started telling me as we were walking to the studio about your mom.
Yeah. Well, my mom does this thing. My mom loves shopping. She will shop, shop. She can shop at any time. She can shop all day, rain or shine. She will shop. And she's a shopper, a very patient shopper. So if you walk into one place, she will comb every single rack, including that dreaded sale rack that's a GD mess. and she will go through every single item of clothing until she finds the best deal. Now, she's a great shopper, but she does this thing where while she is combing through the racks, she will say the price out loud. So she'll go through the racks and she'll pick out a top and she'll go, $17. It's $34. It's $40. It's $40.
And always like so pleased with herself and the price.
$8. And this is Tahari. This is a good, that's a brand.
You just can't get deals like
this. You can't get deals like this.
And you're like, absolutely, literally everyone is getting this deal at this store across the country.
And there are like four people in the store because nobody's doing regular shopping anymore. So all of these sales are ours for the taking.
Oh my God. I just think it's hilarious. It makes me want to like follow her shopping with a camera and do like a super cut of like her with every single price that she says out loud.
And she's a little Houdini. Like she'll be saying all the prices and then you'll turn around and she'll just be gone.
And you're like, where are you?
I'm like, where the hell are you?
She's on another one. And then you'll just hear a price all of a sudden.
$18. $18. And then she'll do it again when we're at the register. So everything that we've bought.
She's like picking them up and looking at them.
So this was $18 and it was regularly $69.
Can you believe it?
That's how much you got off. $40 off. So she'll go through every single dollar that we saved as well. I will say it annoys me, but I love her to death. And then she did say this time around when we were outside or when we were shopping, she was like, why do I have to say the price of everything? I was like, I don't know, but you do.
That's so good.
$7.
So we were kind of like writing down the types of shoppers that we hate. And I have like a few of them here. Number one is the whole my place in line, I need one more thing shopper.
Oh, good one.
That drives me insane.
Yeah.
Especially if
they're not right back.
If they're not right back, then it's like, well, do I go ahead? Do I hold up the rest of the line? I mean, I have a lot of stuff, but like as soon as you start putting your stuff down, then they're going to show up. It's crazy.
And it's not like at a grocery store where you literally know exactly what you're grabbing.
Yeah.
You're like, hold on a second. I have to go get three belts.
And you're like, that's not going to happen. Works.
Exactly. No. That's a great one. The mirror hog. That's someone that bothers me when somebody is right in front of the mirror and they're not even necessarily trying anything on. They're just in front of the mirror and you're like, I want to see how this jacket fits.
I also hate when stores don't have enough mirrors.
Yeah, any mirrors.
Do you want me to try this on or not?
And like, you're like, it drives me insane. If you're trying to create less overflow in the fitting room, put a couple of mirrors around because I can just put a jacket on and look real quick.
Allie, there's literally nothing worse in the world.
Our new segment.
Okay, I hate I have a question about every item at the checkout.
Checkout people, I have one for checkout too.
I hate the person who was like, I wanted to know, what is the price on that? Okay, yeah. Do you guys have this in another size?
Yeah.
Do you guys, they have a question about everything and they have 3,000 things.
Did you have something a few months ago that was on sale? Where is that?
It was red though, not black. I wanted that one. Do you guys still have that?
There are people that they don't make their decisions until they get to the register.
Oh, yeah.
So usually you'll try stuff on and then you'll be like, okay, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to leave this. And you get to the register and pay for the stuff. There are some people, all women, who will go up with a cart full of crap and then be like, okay, so I have this and this.
Yeah.
So how much is that? Let me decide. And then,
okay, well, let me set that one aside.
Right. That's a maybe.
Ooh.
Can I put this on hold? And then, so my little tack on to that is the people who need to go through all of the sale and argue about which items are on sale versus which
ones
aren't. And then also ask about old-ass coupons that they have or things that were emailed to them. And then they get angry when those deals aren't valid anymore.
Yeah, nope, I hate that person. I've been this next person, but it's usually when I'm shopping for clients if I have an interior design client.
Mm-hmm.
This is the, this is Scratch. Can I speak to the manager about a discount person? Like, I've been that person. I'm like, I need to save every dollar I can. I have a very tight budget.
Or like
this
one
client.
Pen mark.
Exactly. It's like, I just need to get at least 15% off of this. Exactly. Like,
it usually works though.
It usually does, which is why I do it. But I know it's annoying to be behind that person because the manager is never readily available in that moment.
That's true. They're never around. The person who messes up and as a person who used to work in retail.
Oh my God.
The person who will mess up every single folded item and then just walk away when they're not even going to pick it up or put it in their cart.
I'm the only person I know amongst my friends who will like pick up a folded shirt,
and
look
then
at
refold it,
fold it back and put it back the way that it was. My cousin, I was in the store with him when I was in the Bay Area, and he was like, "Oh, you worked in retail." I'm like, "Yes, I did. I folded the shirt back." Like,
and
it drives me insane.
I did it this weekend. I was at like Abercrombie or Hollister or something, and I was like, "Well, I got to put this back and fold this sweater."
It is completely a trait of someone who worked in retail, because you know how much time it takes to fold all of these stupid shirts, to get all these jeans stacked in order by size. Like, it's so annoying.
And speaking of retail employees, I looked at a couple of lists of things that pissed them off about retail shoppers. Putting items back in the wrong place was a big one. People who take things off the mannequins.
Oh, no.
Asking.
Like, you should be slapped.
They were like, my mom won't take things off the mannequin, but she will look at the size of the things on the mannequin if she can't find, like, if she sees that sweater and then she can't find that size, she'll be trying. And my mom's 5 feet tall. She's not a tall person. So she's like trying to reach with no ability to reach the woman that has no head. Anyway, and then the person with 1,000 kids running around completely unsupervised.
Oh my God.
That is another one.
I always say, like, there's nothing that gives me more joy than seeing a bad kid get snatched. It's a very black mom thing to do, but to like grab them by the collar. No, you get over here. And don't let me have to talk to you again. I swear for God.
And then they're like kind of.
Exactly.
Like,
it just. I don't.
Thrashing around. Yeah, like their little body is like wiggling.
Right. I don't believe in like whooping kids anymore, but I love seeing a little kid get snatched.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
We are, we have to report some really sad news. First of all, I love the new version of the Will & Grace theme song, like the live band version that they've been doing. So that's what that was.
Yeah, they got some saxophones in there.
Yeah, it's
like,
really good.
More of a beat.
I always remember Max Muckshnick, one of the creators of the show. He's like, we have the least hummable theme song in television history, which I believe is true.
But you have to do it with shoulder.
You have to. Yeah, you have to move to it. But a less than exciting story to report. Shelley Morrison, who played Rosario on Will & Grace, passed away this weekend. She was 83 years old. You would probably remember her the most as Rosario, but she also had some other roles that was really great. She played opposite Sally Field on The Flying Nun. She played a Native American on Laredo. She's just such a fantastic comedic actress on Will & Grace. You probably remember her the most from the times in the early seasons. She would always be arguing with Karen.
Yeah.
She played Karen's maid. And in one of the episodes, she was trying to get her green card, so they made her marry Sean Hayes' character, Jack. And it was ridiculous. Here's that.
This is so stupid. I look like a piñata.
Yeah, and if I beat you with a stick, I could watch all my money fall out. Now, how about a little appreciation for all of this?
All I want is my green card, not a party I have to clean up after.
If it wasn't for this, you'd be flying back to Cucaracha on air guacamole with live chickens running up and down the aisle.
Listen, lady, I'm gonna snap you like a twig and throw you in a bush.
Yeah, I'd like to see you try. Is
that why don't you
get rid of
me? You like a sexy lady!
Oh my God, my little girl's getting married.
They had such a great dynamic. Like, you could tell in that show that Rosario was supposed to be a pretty minor character.
Yeah.
And that they expanded her character because the chemistry and because the they were just so great together.
Well, it's kind of the story of like iconic sitcom characters that, you know, like I always think about Family Matters. Steve Urkel was supposed to be in one episode and he became like the center of the show.
The icon of the
Rosario came in for the season finale of season one. What was supposed to be like a one episode thing. She ended up becoming a regular and doing 67 appearances across the series. And so, she's one of the most iconic people of that show. Like, you think of Will & Grace and Jack and Karen, but like the number five person you think of is Rosario.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Apparently,
was she on any of the new ones?
She's not.
I didn't watch the new
one. Yeah. So the new series that's in its third season now, third and final season, she had retired from acting and didn't come back. And so they actually, her character died, I think, at the end of the first season. They had like a farewell to her and a thank you to her for all that she contributed to the show. And there was like always a question about like, why didn't she come back? She said she'd retired. She wasn't coming back into acting. And so it's
God,
just really sad to hear
this. God, you don't
hear
about that often in TV.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm retiring.
Like, she's like, no, I'm actually retired. No, I don't care what you're doing.
I'm going to go like lay out by a pool somewhere.
She said, I said goodnight.
Goodbye.
Yeah. And so Rosario's character, Rosario Salazar, has been greatly missed on the show, but we just wanted to send our love and appreciation for the work that she did. Shelley Morrison was 83 years old.
Yeah, and you know what? This is a tough time of year, too, because we get all the 2019 lists of the people that we've lost and all that stuff, so we're going to expect some bummer lists like that to come out, but Rosario, great character, great actress, will be missed for sure.
Absolutely. Shout out to Shelley Morrison and her family.
And News It or Lose It is on deck. Jarrett's got the headlines, I've got the votes, and you're going to get some news when we get back.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
All right, Allie, it's time for News It or Lose It. I've got three stories, you've got three votes. Are you ready? All right, Lori Loughlin's daughter Olivia Jade returns to YouTube amid college admission scandal.
I have not done a deep dive on this, so let's do it.
All right, Amazon removes an Auschwitz Christmas ornament and bottle openers after outrage.
Yeah, you know, I heard about that as well.
What could go wrong? And thewordgenius.com word of the day is hugger mugger.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We've had two.
I don't even care what that means. Hugger, mugger.
I don't know what. The word is so ridiculous, I don't know what it could possibly mean.
I can't wait to use it in casual conversation.
There we go. News It or Lose It is back right after this.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
That's right. It's now time for News It or Lose It.
Back to you, Jarrett. Sorry,
Shut up, Ted. It's
been at you the whole time.
Shut up, Allison.
God.
All right. This first story, I just don't understand how things like this happen.
Are we starting with Olivia Jade?
No. Well, we understand how that one happened. but this story comes from Amazon. Amazon removes Auschwitz Christmas ornaments, bottle openers after outrage. I don't even understand how this was a thing. Like, a Christmas ornament of Auschwitz, if you don't remember, Auschwitz was a concentration camp during the Holocaust.
No, I can't recall Auschwitz.
Some people are like, what are you talking about? this story coming from Huffington Post, it says Holocaust-themed Christmas ornaments, bottle openers, and Valentine's Day keychains are being sold on Amazon.
What? A Valentine's Day keychain?
Yeah, igniting public outcry on Sunday with a memorial and museum for the former Auschwitz Nazi death camp calling the items inappropriate and disrespectful. The Auschwitz Memorial tweeted out a response to this saying, quote, selling, quote, Christmas ornaments, end quote, with images of Auschwitz does not seem appropriate. Auschwitz on a bottle opener is rather disturbing and disrespectful. We ask Amazon to remove the items of those suppliers. I just don't understand who thought this would be okay, who thought this wouldn't be offensive, and who is buying these.
Well, I guarantee you the person who thought of this did not think it wouldn't be offensive. I think that was their number one. I think it was some idiot who was like, I'm going to make Christmas ornaments with Auschwitz on them and put them online. And then some person is like, wait a minute, what is this doing online? Because I don't know. It's sort of like that Facebook thing of like, how are things being filtered? Because really anybody can put something for sale on Amazon.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know how that works either. I'm not familiar with the approval process for Amazon, but it seems like retailers can just put their own stuff up there. I don't know who thought this was a good idea. It's baffling to me that this even happened.
No, I think it is. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I would imagine there are idiots selling all kinds of dumb stuff on Amazon. Like, it can cross over into weird Etsy territory sometimes, where it's just like some douche who decided to make a Christmas ornament that's horribly offensive and put it on
online. I would actually expect something like this on Etsy, because it's so, like, individuals making things. Not that it would be okay there, but, like, I would imagine that happening on Etsy and not in a place like Amazon. Like, if you're Amazon, I gotta imagine Auschwitz is gonna pop up at a red flag somewhere. Like, I mean, what is this?
I would hope so, but then you never know what falls through the cracks.
It's ridiculous.
There are some crazy things for sale on Amazon. I mean, yeah. And you sometimes when I get things delivered, I would expect it to come in a more professional packaging. But sometimes it is just some person who, you know, if they've incorporated as their own business and they just buy things and resell them or whatever it is, sometimes you don't always know.
The article says the vendors hawking the Holocaust theme merchandise appear to sell generic items that feature different stock photos, often of famous locations. They said that they couldn't reach the sellers for more comment, so they don't know like what their response to this might be. They say the product's discovery comes a little more than a week after luxury fashion brand Lowe pulled a black and white striped ensemble from its shelves after it was compared to the uniforms worn by prisoners at Nazi concentration camps. I don't want to say that this is anti-Semitic, but I could definitely understand if there were people who felt that it was.
Oh, yeah.
I could see that argument being made.
I also just think that Auschwitz as a Christmas ornament is ugly.
I just don't,
like
what, I don't
like,
understand.
That is a, like, it's a concentration camp. It's not like Big Ben. It's not like something that looks nice in a silhouette in a Christmas ornament
it's
form.
Just, it's wild.
Strange.
So, moving from one crazy story to one that is also crazy. An NBC News headline says Lori Loughlin's daughter Olivia Jade returns to YouTube. That's where you have your stank attitude. You're familiar with
it's
that,
It's just
right?
a bunch of videos of people going,
YouTube. She returns to YouTube amid the college admission scandal.
I miss you guys so much, and I'm just really excited to start filming again. And to
this morning, Olivia Giannulli is back online.
Obviously, I've been gone for a really long time.
For the first time, addressing the college admission scandal that has engulfed dozens of privileged parents, including her own, actress Lori Loughlin.
In the video, she's like, "Hey guys, welcome back to my channel." She literally says that, and
welcome
I crack
back
up
to my channel.
Because we've always teased Emmy on the show with her little sound. Hey guys, welcome to my channel.
Sound drop that we made her record, and now we make fun of her for the sound drop that we made her record. She has no YouTube channel.
But
hey guys, welcome to my
channel. But what's crazy about it is like she did this video and basically said nothing other than like I really
for
miss
her big return.
Well, I really miss YouTube. It's something that I'm really passionate about, and I really miss uploading videos and talking to you guys. And I just, you know, I really can't talk about anything, so it really sucks. But I keep wondering if I should just like do more videos or if I shouldn't do videos because I can't really say anything. But I just really and I'm like,
well, I think she answered her own question.
I'm like,
by
this is 2.5 minutes of my life that I can't get back.
Yeah, I mean that's most YouTube videos.
Emmy has another clip of what she was trying to play here.
Back to my YouTube channel. Obviously, I've been gone for a really long time.
Yeah,
and
great.
As much as I wish I could talk about all of this, it's really hard for me to say this just because I know that it's something that needs to be addressed. It's just unfortunately, which is also why I didn't know exactly
so, does she always sound like she was screaming at a Kesha concert all night?
Basically, okay. Yeah. I mean, her other videos, I remember the video that I did see of her when the college admission scandal broke was her talking to camera about how she doesn't really care about being in school. At
no,
the school
I
her parents cheated to get her
well.
Into, and how she was going on vacation for a week at the top of the semester.
Well, and so. I would imagine that her parents, and probably the parents' lawyers, have advised Olivia Jade to shut the F up and not put up any YouTube videos.
So, to that point, when I saw the video this morning, I recorded it into my phone just in case the video was gone by the time we tried to talk about it. Because I thought to myself, like, this is stupid. Mind you, she doesn't say anything, but it's like, I know that people have told you not to be talking. So,
and when you're grounded, I mean, what else can you do besides make crappy YouTube videos?
I mean, fair enough. a well-made point.
I mean, I'm of course assuming that they're parents who actually ground their children, which is probably not true.
I mean, you know what? Not even touching
You've lost your yacht privileges.
The word, Jingus.com word of the day is hugger mugger. It's an adjective. Any idea what hugger mugger means?
When someone mugs you.
And then hugs you.
No, you hug the mugger.
Oh.
You're like, you know what? I love you anyway.
So that's not it. it means, well, it's an adjective that means when something is chaotic and disorganized or conducted with a secret or clandestine nature.
Ooh.
Right? It's a hugger mugger.
Well, I still like my definition.
There's an example of how to use the word. We could barely see the carpet in the hugger mugger bedroom.
Oh.
Or his motive.
Channel
Q. Right. His motives were unclear, but the hugger mugger requests were suspicious. I don't know what any of that means.
Nope, me neither.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject is back. It's almost time to land this plane. We've covered quite a bit today. We've had a very a versatile show.
Yes, we played
Channel
Home.
Q.
Yeah, we are
very
versatile. I was scrolling through Tops.
Yeah.
That was another thing that was from the top of the show. And if you missed anything, please download the podcast. Drop the Subject wherever you find your podcast, because all kinds of stuff. We played Hallmark or Humbug. Okay.
We talked about whether or not you should be eating your leftover food for more than a week, which I told you I'm going to be doing regardless.
Yep. That was. We also shared some Cyber Monday kitchen deals for the Cyber Monday Munch Report.
We reminded you that now that's what I call Thanksgiving is now available for free.
Oh, yes, it is.
Mind you, it was free before Thanksgiving as well, but that's not what we're discussing.
We've extended the deal
through
the rest of the day, so get them while they're hot.
We talked about how this convicted murderer was the hero that stopped the terrorist on a London bridge from stabbing people.
Yeah, which also led to a Fergie song. Nice throwback.
Yeah. We talked about Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, we did.
Coming out as being gender fluid. You got a lot to catch up on in the podcast. And we have this new theme of talking about how there's literally nothing worse.
Yes, where you say something that's kind of a bummer and you say there's literally nothing worse than that, even though there's a lot of things that are way worse than
that. Way worse, yes.
So that will segue nicely into our happy endings, which is a time where we can reflect on something that was maybe sad times during the show, take a nice positive spin on it, give you a silver lining, something nice and uplifting to send you into the rest of your day. Anyone want to go first?
I think you should go first.
All right. Let's
Translation,
see.
Mine still has an ellipsis at the end.
Okay. Well, you know, there are some annoying shoppers out there. We all learned this through earlier in the show. We talked about some of the most annoying things that retail shoppers do, including my mother, who likes to outwardly say the price of everything that she looks at in a store. But instead of giving them shade outwardly, you can go home, start a YouTube channel, and just put all your shade there. And you can contain your shade and your attitude into one amazing YouTube channel, which I think we
YouTube?
Should...
YouTube? You said it this time. You said
That's
YouTube.
What I mean. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Instead of giving them attitude in the store, you can start a YouTube channel.
Oh, I see.
So I think we should buy the YouTube...
URL,
the domain, and start YouTube, where people can just have attitude
have,
in videos.
Stank at,
Isn't that Twitter?
These shoppers are so... Yeah, I guess it's Twitter, huh? All right, well, it was an idea.
I like the idea of a bunch of videos that are just like, oh my God.
That's TikTok, actually.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so I think we're learning that this is...
Reinventing the wheel.
She's like, have you ever heard of Vine?
Have you ever heard of...
How well did that work out?
All social media channels already.
I stand with Vine.
Yeah.
I liked Vine.
Vine was fun.
Genius content came from Vine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that should have lasted longer.
Hey, you know, Clayton Ferris is regular on the show sometimes. When we need fill-ins, and he was an ex-Vine star. That is his claim to fame.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't even know he was that from the one Disneyland video, but I've seen that video so many times.
Yeah, and the printer Vine. He was the printer Vine guy.
Oh, I don't think I've seen those.
No?
I'll check them
out. He's very famous on Vine, R.I.P.
All right.
R.I.P.
Emmy, what you got?
People may have gotten a lot of food poisoning from Thanksgiving leftovers, but hopefully it offsets the gorging that goes on, you know?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
Okay.
Because
that's a good point.
When people are eating and then eating again and eating again and eating again, and then they complain about their holiday weight gain, if they have food poisoning, all that goes away.
That's right.
That's true. Thank you, Emmy. Very nice.
All right. So, my happy ending. Grinch bots are awful, and they're really ruining online shopping. But look at the bright side. I'm one of the Twitter moments of the decade, and that's awesome.
Oh,
so.
No.
No, I'm kidding. That's not it. Grinch bots are awful and are ruining online shopping. But look at the bright side. There's literally nothing worse than bots. Am I right?
Nothing.
There's nothing worse.
Nothing worse than bots stealing my Cyber Monday deals.
There's literally nothing worse.
Well, literally nothing worse has debuted on the show today. This may be the last day we do it. No, I'm just
kidding. Think so. I think literally nothing worse is has got to be like a segment or a little clip that we do or something.
It will live on. That's the beauty of Drop the Subject, is that these things happen on the air and then they could stay and they change and they formulate and we'll then we create new magic.
We'll
tomorrow.
Do like a live literally nothing worse at CornCon next year. Like, we've got a lot to do.
And some people can say there's literally nothing worse than candy corn.
They're like, there's literally nothing worse than CornCon, but I am so excited to be here.
Dr. Jen joins us tomorrow. We have Just the Tip Tuesday. And with Dr. Jen, we're going to be chatting about reasons why you might be dreaming about your ex. Apparently, it's common. So we're going to delve into that and much more. So stay tuned tomorrow and catch everything that you missed on the podcast. Drop the Subject wherever you find your podcasts. See you tomorrow.
Yep.
On the next, Drop the Subject.
On the next show, how common is it to have a sexy dream about your ex? Is that normal?
Sure, it's just as normal as dreaming about your dog.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, what?
And I'm leaving the country soon. So for Just the Tip Tuesday, we'll go over things that you might be doing that are offensive in other countries.
Wait. You can't just... Your dog, though?
Well, there was only a little tongue.
I have so many questions.
Drop the Subject. 12 to 2 Pacific, 3 to 5 Eastern. On the new Channel Q.